In a world completely overrun by inane media, there are podcasts that rise above the rest. This is not one of those. Two middle-aged white guys from Middle America talk about random shit for about an hour or so. This is the Magical Talking Hat.
Go.
No, all right. You go.
You go.
You.
No, go. What are you laughing at? It's party time. Go. Now you're supposed to say good day and welcome to party time. That's all I'm going to say. I now turn the recreational portion over to my hosehead brother Bob, who will give you all a game to play.
I thought you wanted me to do the song, and I'm not going to do it because no. We will violate copyrights and get in all kinds of trouble.
I think I already did. Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Magical Talking Hat podcast, the only podcast in the world, the only one that knows which mall Santa is the real one.
We're not telling.
We are not, because we will disillusion so many children. But let's be honest, there's a few that you can tell.
Yes.
Yes. I'll tell that in a minute. But first, we should say, remind me to talk about Sketchy Santa. But first, I should say, I'm Tony.
And I'm William. This is episode 94. The most icily episode.
The most... How long have you been holding that?
No, I was just thinking about that all the way over here. Oh, it's episode 94. I wonder if... I'm sure our listeners get that reference.
I hope so. Because I don't want to talk about it. This is episode 94. This is the last episode of 2012.
It is.
Ever.
Mm-hmm. No more 2012 episodes.
Because as somebody pointed out on Twitter the other day, today's date won't happen again forever. Isn't that freaky?
Yeah, wow. Wild. We can wait forever and it'll never happen.
People got a little bit tired about the 12-12-12 things. So somebody... like on the 16th or whatever, was like, hey guys, today's date won't happen again until ever. Never happen. That's how time works. For those of you just joining us, weird time, but we have a hat. It's magic. It has its own email. Doesn't talk, but it tosses all the shit you guys email to it to us, and we pull it out at random and talk about it till we're bored. So that's the whole gist of the show.
Yeah.
Now, I want to talk about Sketchy Santa.
Is there any other kind, really?
No, this one, really. And I, okay. this is a secondhand story, because I was not there. This was my brother-in-law and his 5-year-old and 8-year-old going to a store called Alco.
A secondhand store?
No.
Oh, a secondhand story.
Secondhand story, first-hand store.
Okay.
Called Alco. It's a chain. I don't even know what they sell there.
I've been to Alco before.
What is it like? What kind of stuff is it? Is it a gross? It's not a grocery store.
Well, you know, before Walmart,
it's like a thrift store, like a Five and Dime kind of
another
thing.
Chain was Pomida, and it was in the Midwest here for a while.
Okay.
In the 70s, they had a lot of these stores. It's kind of hard to describe,
sort
really.
Sort of general retail.
Yeah, yeah. I suppose
maybe you could call it a department store.
Think of a Kmart or a...
Yeah.
Kmart is a really good example.
Okay.
If you think of it in the 70s, yeah. When even though it was a fairly well-known chain, it was this tiny store, department store. They didn't have huge stores like now or whatever. And yeah, Alco's like that.
And at this Alco, on... I believe this was the 23rd... of Christmas, or of December. 23rd of Christmas. Shut up. It's been a long week. 23rd of December, they're going at night to go, they're buying stuff for their mom. Secret, you know, so she's with us.
They're going to go see Santa.
They've seen
the
right
Santa.
I was
going to say, waiting till
the
last minute.
They were not expecting a Santa at Alco.
Oh, okay.
And they were...
buying presents for their mother.
Yes, I said that. They were buying presents for their mother. Peanut gallery. And they were not expecting a Santa, and they were definitely not expecting this Santa.
Mm-hmm.
This Santa was apparently I believe scrawny was a term used in here, very old, very sort of not all there looking, like maybe on something sort of, Santa, in a very shabby outfit, in a Lazy Boy recliner, with the saddest, most obvious, like yarned-in beard, like fake beard, just barely scraggly hanging down from him, is right in the front, and they walk in, and he's immediately there, and apparently both children walked in and immediately stepped back into their father out of fear of this Santa, who basically yelled at them, "What do you want for Christmas?" Now, the 8-year-old is just scared. And the 5-year-old is scared. But the 5-year-old knows it's Christmas time and you need to play the odds. Yeah,
can't take your chances.
So, still pressed up against his father, a good 10 feet away, he yells to Sketchy Santa, "Legos!" And that's it. And then Sketchy Santa says, "What do you want, little girl?" And she figures, you know, in for a penny. So she yells across to him, "La La Loopsy!" And Sketchy Santa, for reasons known only to him, asks for clarification.
He does. He
says, "What was that?" And she says, "La La Loopsy!" And he says, "Well, okay, I'll get those for you." And that was it. And they walked by.
"I'll get those."
Around the edge. I just love the 5-year-old just like, "Legos!"
I used to play Santa for the place we worked for.
Scrawny Claws. Knew that it was going to come. As soon as I used the word scrawny, I knew that was going to come up. Scrawny Claws.
Scrawny Claws. Because...
You were not a corpulent motherfucker.
Well, no, and I didn't put anything in the suit.
No, because you were that lazy.
No, it wasn't laziness. It's because, actually, I've played Santa Claus many times in my life, believe it or not.
Frequently not in the winter, and not with anyone asking.
No.
And frequently ending in the police having to be called.
No, it's always around Christmas time. But the first time I ever played Santa Claus, I was in high school, and I was playing Santa Claus for the elementary kids' Christmas concert or winter concert, where they wanted Santa Claus to show up, and nobody would do it. But of course, you know me, I jumped at the chance. Oh yeah, I'd be Santa Claus. That'd be great. And
talk louder.
So I put on the suit and everything, and we did stuff it with pillows and everything. there was a problem when I was actually out. You know, passing out, I don't remember what it was, candy or something to the kids as Santa Claus. The stuffing all fell into my pants. So I was still kind of, you know, thin and scrawny on the top, but my pants were these huge. So they were all the stuffing like fell into my pants.
All the food you had eaten to achieve your bowl full of jelly belly was digested all at once.
Yeah, all in my hip region, you know, and...
And that, boys and girls, was the birth of Hammer Pants.
It was really awful. The kids didn't seem to notice. The parents were laughing hysterically.
So from then on, out of fear of another Santa wardrobe malfunction, you refused to put stuffing in
your
suit.
That's right. Now, here's the thing, though. The audience thought it was funny, which, of course, I played that up a lot myself, because there were... I couldn't walk very easily, so occasionally I had to reach down between my legs and pull up the stuffing, so it was a little higher on my body, and the crowd just died laughing. The kids didn't notice, didn't care, but the crowd thought it was funny, and I thought it was funny, and that was great, but I didn't think that would always work, so, or always be appropriate.
And you don't want to be known as that one joke Santa, you know?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, he's the one who loses his belly and his pants. Yeah, we've seen it, you know? It's been done.
That was very bizarre. But after that, I decided, the kids didn't care that all the stuffing was in my pants, so why would they have cared if I didn't have any stuffing at all?
They ultimately care that there's somebody giving them crap, yeah, I think is what it comes
to. So I figured, if the kids aren't going to care if I'm skinny...
You could have dressed up as John Travolta and given them candy canes, and that would have probably been fine.
I've played Santa all kinds of times since then. Probably the most appropriate character I've played in a costume, and I've done a lot of characters in costume,
Ming the Merciless.
Oh, that would have been good. No.
Handing out candy canes?
Uncle Sam. I played Uncle Sam in it once, and that seemed appropriate.
Have I seen that?
I did Uncle Sam.
A picture or a video or
No, I
something?
Did Uncle Sam at work, but this was before that.
All right.
I played Uncle
Sam. You were a veteran Uncle Sam player at that point.
Yeah, I've done it a couple times. But, you know, when I worked at Adventureland Park in Des Moines, I wanted to...
Making funnel cakes.
I wanted to be one of the costumed people, but it never happened. There was this great costume that a friend of mine did where it's a gorilla carrying a cage.
Yes.
With a guy inside, and you're the guy, see? Your legs and stuff are fake.
Yeah.
And that seemed like a pretty cool costume, and he got to do it, but I didn't get to do it. When I worked there, this friend of mine and I would do. He fancied himself kind of a comedian, so when we worked in a certain part of the park that was sort of apart from the kitchen, and we knew that our bosses weren't really watching,
yes.
He would do little stand-up routines and stuff down there, and I would do ventriloquist acts with it was a lemonade stand, so there were lemon halves, and I could make little puppets out of them, and so we used to entertain the crowds. The problem with that though was that he only wanted to entertain the teenage girls. So that got a little weird.
Whereas your lemon halves were for all people.
That's right, everybody. Especially the little kids, you know.
Yes, who really believe the lemon is talking.
Yeah, so.
All right, well, so.
That was a ridiculous story for me to tell.
It was fine. The ending died out a little bit. It needed a big, you know, closer.
I know, and there wasn't one.
And that was the last time I saw him. Some say he died 25 years ago.
No, like now he works for
like this.
He last time my brother talked to him, he couldn't say much about his job because it's
is he James Bond?
No, but his work is what's the word?
I don't know, but it better be really interesting. You built this up. classified.
Classified.
There we go.
It's classified.
Nice.
Some government work.
That's what he tells you.
Yeah, well, I thought maybe he was kidding or joking because that's the way he always was.
Yep.
But my brother said, no, he...
Top secret tilt-a-whirl operator.
I don't know what happened, but he's working for some government
undercover
agency.
Carney.
Can't talk about what he does.
All right, so how was your... What has it been, 2 weeks?
Well, you know, Christmas and everything.
Christmas and everything.
Which was fine, though I didn't go home for Christmas because I fell ill and I didn't...
Oh, no.
Yeah, it wasn't a big deal. It's one of those things, I get these headaches and if I probably would have been fine, but traveling makes it worse.
Oh, yeah.
And my headache gets worse.
Maybe you're pregnant.
No.
When's the last time you had your period?
Anyway.
It's been a while, I'm guessing.
And we've been playing Mass Effect, as you know, so...
Yes? How are you in the second one now?
We're in the third one now.
Wow!
Well, you know, we're committed. And what else were we going to do on Christmas, since we didn't go home?
We totally have to talk about...
That's 4 hours worth of driving.
The programming behind the end of Mass Effect 2, because it's really fascinating.
Okay.
But we talk about it off the air because it's spoilers. So still in it? Still on it? Still liking it?
Well, the...
How far are you in the third?
Not very far. We haven't gotten through the complaining about how different the game is phase, you know.
Yeah, now they've included weight.
Yeah, there's lots.
That's really something we all asked for. We're like, the last two games were fun, but I want something that fucks me up when I carry too many guns. That's what I was missing from the last game.
Well, the controls changed. Let's see, the controls changed from 1 to 2, and I think they kind of changed back to what they were before or something.
A little bit.
Now, you wouldn't notice this if you'd been waiting for the game for several months or a couple years.
Yeah.
But when you're playing them one after the next, it's a little bit annoying.
And I do actually like each set a little bit better in the long run, each set of controls.
I don't know.
So,
and there's other things that another thing they did progressively is the first game you have in the lower right-hand corner a little... compass that shows you where your enemies are and what's going on. In the second game, you have to press a little button for that thing to pop up. And now...
You gotta go to a menu.
It's like, it's crazy.
Yeah.
So you'd think that when they made the first change and made it harder for you to know what you were doing, where you were going, where your enemies were, they'd think, oh, that was a bad
decision. No, apparently everybody was like, we love that. Yeah,
so now they took it a step further.
Yeah.
And that's probably the biggest complaint by the game players in my house right now is that I don't know where I'm supposed to go. I don't know what I'm supposed to do. Or they see something blip on the screen that gives it a sense of the direction something is.
Yeah.
But you don't know how to get there.
The thing you bought that's the whole trilogy, did it come with any downloadable content?
Yes.
Okay. Did it come with all of it?
Well, no. Well, here's the thing about that. Like, very recent downloadable content is not on
like
there.
Like Omega or whatever I think it's called. Or
I'm thinking of Arrival. Arrival's not on there.
Arrival's not that new, I don't think.
Well, it's new enough.
All right. Do you have any for Mass Effect 3?
Yes, probably.
Okay, we need to talk about it. There is a particular downloadable content for Mass Effect 3 that you should get, even if you have to pay for it, and you should get it sooner rather than later.
Okay.
Well. It's really cool. But we'll have to talk about that in an hour or 45 minutes.
Okay.
All right. So how was your holiday?
Well, yeah, but, you know, I stayed home, played Mass Effect, so that's it. There's nothing else to say. But yours was probably very eventful.
It was the family. We had the Thursday. We had the big storm.
Dodged a bullet then, didn't we, man? Because we pre-recorded the episode. I mean, we wouldn't have been able to record that. We wouldn't have been able to record that night.
It was hilarious though because everybody said it's coming. We're all going to die for days beforehand.
Yeah.
We're all going to die. It's going to kill us all. 18 inches of snow. We're all going to die. And our work is like, we might close, everybody be ready, here's a little number you call, all this stuff. But then, everybody's changing. They're like, oh, it's going to start snowing now. No, it's not going to start snowing until then. Oh, it's going to snow in Cedar Rock, but Iowa City, it's kind of going to miss it completely. You're just going to get rain. Nobody knows. And when I left on Wednesday, it's snowing outside.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the one thing that all the different news reports had in common. Is nobody said it was going to snow at 5 on Wednesday. So I'm like, so nobody has any idea.
Yeah.
Really. And so we go to bed. Not a big deal. I wake up 5:30 to go to the gym. I look outside. I see nothing. I see wet ground. That's it. So I'm like, well, shit. And we had really gotten excited about the idea of maybe not going to work. So I get all my stuff on. I go outside. It is sleeting outside. But the ground is so warm, it just hits the ground and melts.
Mm-hmm.
Like there's a little slush in the road, but not really anything.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing to be concerned of. And so I go to the gym. Nobody's at the gym. Everybody got scared away. I do my workout. I get back in the car. I come home. Nothing's happening. I take my shower. I sit down. Just for fun, I call the number to see if they closed. The number says, we didn't close. And I'm like, of course not, because there's nothing. About an hour goes by, and I'm doing the stuff on the computer I do in the morning before work and all this. And I figure I'll go check the website with the closures to see what other places did close, because I know everybody was so panicked. And I see my company's name on there. And so I call the number again. And now it says they're closing. They changed their mind. And the reason they changed their mind is apparently it's going to snow all day long. And the temperature was going to drop down to about 11.
Yeah.
And sure enough, nothing going on in the morning. Went to the gym and all that. By like midday, I went to get us some lunch. It was a death trap out there.
Oh, it was terrible. Yeah.
We went to Wendy's because I didn't want to go to Highway 6. Which is half a mile away and is a 2-lane highway. Like, didn't want to risk it.
Yeah.
It was insane. So we did not leave for the family that night like we'd planned.
Mm.
We left the next day, Friday. Mm. Lovely day out.
Mm-hmm.
Roads, not so lovely yet.
Yeah.
They had been plowed, but because it had been warm, there was like an inch and a half of ice.
Yeah.
All over the place. So our normal 2.5-hour drive, 4.5 hours.
Jeez.
Including getting off to get gas, and like 3 cars behind us, a semi jackknifed and closed that off ramp for everybody after that.
Wow.
It was insane. Most of the trip we were going 30, 40 miles an hour on the interstate. It was crazy. But we got there. We spent a bunch of days there. We came home yesterday. It was pretty good. I had a pretty good time.
Good.
I didn't exercise, and I ate whatever the hell I felt like, and my body was very angry about that.
Oh, well.
My in-laws, as usual, went overboard at Christmas, so I got tons of shit.
Mm.
But actually, I think my favorite thing was not really a Christmas present. I won a prize in the drawing at work for the holiday party. And this year, they decided not to screw around, because last year they had stupid prizes, like little, like, a mug with the company logo on it and stuff. They had like a bunch of those. And people must have complained because they complained a lot about last year's holiday party. So this year, all the prizes were awesome. Like the shittiest prize, still like a $50 gift certificate to things. I won a Kindle Fire HD.
Hmm.
And I am in love with it.
You are?
It's awesome.
Huh.
I'm already reading books on it. I got a bunch of games on it. I've been surfing the web on it. I love it.
Hmm.
It's very cool. I've never had a tablet, and it's just really awesome.
Okay.
So I've been enjoying that a lot. I've been reading a book on it. I am, I think, 70% done, I think is what it said. I've been reading a book you may have heard of called Anno Dracula.
Never heard
of it.
You
ever heard of this?
No.
It's the first book in a series, but I feel like they're standalones. I don't know that I'm going to read any more. This book feels very by itself. It's alternate history England in Victorian era. And the basic idea is, you remember Bram Stoker's Dracula?
Yes.
Most of that happened.
Okay.
But up to the point where they catch him trying to turn Mina into a vampire in like her room near the asylum and everything. And they catch him and he flees and then they chase him all across Europe, you know. They go by train and he goes by ship and they eventually get back to the and Carpathian Mountains and all that
before
stuff.
Before you.
Yes. But when they catch him there, he wins and he turns her into a vampire and he kills one of the guys and the other ones have to flee or they'll be killed. And so he wins. And then not long after this, he ends up marrying Queen Victoria and coming out openly as a vampire. And it becomes an acceptable thing. And like people, he makes other vampires and people want to become vampires and things like that. And it becomes a part of society. And so it's this alternate situation where vampires are just a thing. And people are still working it out, and there's still the big Christian crusaders saying they're all evil, and, you know, there's different bloodlines of vampires, and people have different feelings about them and stuff. In the midst of all this are several characters, and they use a lot of historical fictional characters and historical real characters in different places. You know, Dr. Jekyll's in there, Dr. Moreau's in there, a lot of characters from Dracula are in there. Are trying to solve the Jack the Ripper murder. The Jack the Ripper murders are going on, except in this case, they are specifically vampire prostitutes that are being killed. And so a bunch of people are trying to solve this and deal with this. It's pretty interesting. Like I said, I don't know if I'll read more of them. I don't know how it works as well as a series. But I like it.
So vampires are dead? Are they mystical, undead
creatures?
Well,
that's part of the thing, actually. No.
Oh.
It's a biological process, but there is a lot of superstition associated with it.
I see.
For instance, the whole garlic and religious symbols and stuff, not a real thing, except some vampires, including Dracula, believe it, and so it actually, like, it's psychosomatic.
Mm.
The sun is a real thing. But that gets better as you get older. You get used to it. And the one that nobody can explain, like scientifically or anything, is mirrors. They can't be seen in mirrors, and it's weird. For some of them, it's like a smudgy thing. For some of them, it's like a suit of clothes with no person in it. For some of them, it's nothing. And nobody yet understands why the mirror thing happens.
Interesting.
Nobody's been able to explain that. But most of the other superstition is just that.
I see.
And they still, you know, they still breathe, they are still alive, they still eat, but they can subsist on blood and they're effectively immortal.
They can subsist or they must subsist on blood?
I don't think they must. I think the hunger gets really crazy.
I see.
I don't think they will die of bloodthirst, but they will go into a hunger frenzy at some point. And there's stuff like people in Dracula's bloodline can shapeshift, but is very complicated, and there's a lot of people just sort of haphazardly making other vampires, and it gets fucked up. And so a lot of them that are out of Dracula's bloodline end up partially shapeshifted and end up dying from it and things because they can't control it right. And there's a whole thing that, like, there's something wrong with Dracula's bloodline. And he makes kind of fucked up vampires. And then there's other ones that aren't as bad.
Dracula.
And like if you already had a disease of some sort, the turning can mutate that disease into some, like, there's this one vampire who I think we're led to believe had some sort of venereal disease, and now she has these big, like, open sores all over her, and she eventually dies and stuff. So
that's horrible.
There's a lot of complications, but it's essentially a biological issue. So yeah, I'm curious, and it's not particularly graphic or explicit, which I feel like too much of the vampire stuff nowadays is just an excuse for sort of, you know, Victorian era porn. Not that there is, like I said, 70% done. There has been a sex scene. It's not especially graphic or even that good. But yeah, that's not been the focus at all. It's pretty cool. I like it. I didn't see any movies, but we did watch the entire second series of Sherlock, which we had not seen yet. In fact, we finished it last night.
Not as good as the first one, was it?
I don't know. We had very mixed feelings about the first one. We loved the first episode. We really didn't like the second episode. And the third episode, I had mixed feelings about. And I kind of had mixed feelings about most of this series.
Yeah.
I enjoyed the performances in this series. But it's very weird. And there's some major holes that I think are there intentionally to be answered in the third series.
Mm-hmm.
But
what's the guy who plays Sherlock? What's his name?
Benedict Cumberbatch.
And he's the bad guy in the upcoming new Star Trek
He's
movie.
The bad guy in the new Star Trek. He's the voice of Smaug in The Hobbit.
I didn't know that.
Yes.
Haven't seen that yet.
And neither have I. Timothy Freeman, who's Watson, is the Hobbit in The Hobbit. And was most famous for being the original Tim in The British Office.
Yeah, I know. That's where I first saw him, which I thought was great. Oh, yeah, but he was
also
in...
Also Arthur Dent in Hitchhiker's Guide. Remake of Hitchhiker's Guide.
But, yeah, when he was in The Office, he was hilarious. Loved him in that.
I really like him, and I very much enjoyed his character in the second series. I feel like we put some depth into him.
Yeah.
The mysteries were kind of shitty, but we did a lot more with interpersonal relationship that I enjoyed.
Yeah, I guess so.
In the same way that a lot of people who are long-term Doctor Who fans don't like the reboot as well. I understand why. It's a very different show. It's much more about melodrama and interpersonal relationship, but I can totally get off on that, so it works for me. It is very weird to have been watching Elementary, though, and to switch back to that.
Yeah, we haven't been watching Elementary. So.
Elementary got not shitty.
Really?
We were shocked. About four episodes in, we're near the end, and one of us said, I don't think this sucks anymore. And the other one was like, yeah, I think you're right. Like, they finally found a balance where the two characters have chemistry now and they work together.
Oh, good.
I don't know exactly what happened, but it works now. It's very different than Sherlock. You can't compare it. It's a totally different monster. And there is arguments sometimes that the brilliant deductions of that Sherlock aren't that brilliant. And again, to quote a friend of mine on Twitter one time, I'm waiting for them to say that Sherlock Holmes suffered severe head trauma earlier in life. But it's a cool, again, it's a cool Mystery of the Week show, and I need something to fill out my TV repertoire now that Leverage has been fucking canceled.
Oh, has it been?
Got canceled the day before Christmas.
Well, now, how
and
many
they aired,
seasons?
And they aired the season finale, or the series finale, on Christmas. We have not yet watched this on the DVR.
How many seasons did it get?
Five.
Well, that's good.
It is good, but I'm sad, because I still love the show.
Oh, okay, well.
But no, it is good to get out now.
We're not really watching anything that we used to
watch. A lot of stuff we were watching just up. I told you we killed Once Upon a Time. We've still been watching Arrow. Still makes not a lick of sense, and it's hilarious. They're on hiatus for mid-season. A lot of stuff we're watching is on hiatus for mid-season. I think we really have to go back now and do the last season of BSG, because we haven't done it yet.
Oh, okay.
And it's getting long enough out there, we're going to forget what the hell is going on. But for Christmas, what I got, the entire series of Firefly on Blu-ray.
Blu-ray.
And the entire series, all 88 episodes of Farscape on Blu-ray.
Really?
I am fucking psyched about that.
I didn't even know you liked Farscape that much.
Oh, I adored... Okay. Babylon 5 was my favorite TV show ever until Farscape. Then Farscape was my favorite TV show ever until Firefly. Hmm. Firefly is still probably my favorite TV show ever. No, I love Farscape like a person. I adore Farscape.
Yeah, we liked it a lot. We watched the whole thing. I don't know if I'd ever...
Did you ever watch PC Brewers?
What?
The fourth season ended on a cliffhanger, and the show was canceled.
Yeah.
Eventually, through fans bitching, they got a miniseries made called The Peacekeeper Wars that wrapped everything up.
I think we did see that, yeah.
It was pretty sucky. But it wrapped things up, and so I got a sense of closure out of it. But it was pretty sucky. Hmm. And that is not included on the Blu-ray, but I will try and get my hands on it. And what is probably of most interest to our listeners and to you, I got some money. You know something about this. Apparently they were quizzing you secretly. I got some money to go towards podcasting equipment.
Uh-huh.
Now, we're still in the problem in that none of us have any idea what we need to get.
No, that's true.
But I'll tell you this, and listeners, you can help out if you know anything about this shit. Here's the dream.
The dream.
The dream is both William and I have our own mics that are each going to a different channel, obviously. And our own headphones of some kind. Mm-hmm. Now, it's possible that with Audacity or some other piece of software, we can just get USB condenser mics, plug them into the laptop, and they will recognize and we can assign channels. I don't know if that's true, though.
Oh.
We might need something called a mixer, which I don't really understand that well.
Well, if you let me look at Audacity a little bit, I can tell you if it has its own mixer and if that'll
work. Okay. Okay. Although, that's what I'm thinking. In a perfect world, we get a mixer that plugs into the laptop. The mixer, we plug in two mics into that and two headsets.
Yes, we could do that. But it might not be necessary with just two microphones and just talking. I mean...
Yeah, I don't know.
I mean, the whole point about having the headphones, I imagine, is that we can sort of monitor our own levels.
Yeah.
And just get closer or further away from the microphone. And,
well, or adjust the level.
Yeah, we can do that too.
My dream is that I up your volume because you're never fucking close enough.
But,
and also, in my dream at this point, the Snowball, which I love, don't get me wrong, is not one of the two mics because I want ones that are... like laser beam unidirectional.
Oh. So you and don't this get one, things passing by.
And so that we don't get each other and stuff, so it's clean, because we don't have a great studio here.
No.
So I'm thinking, and this one, as far as I know, when it's omnidirectional, just means it's that side of the sphere, which is still a pretty broad range.
Yeah.
So that's my dream. So anybody who knows about that kind of shit, let me know. And let me... Okay, I'll just say it. I've got $200 that I can spend. So this is the range we're looking in, because last I checked, we're still making absolutely no money on this.
Yeah.
And in fact, it costs me money for the web hosting, so I can't afford to spend extra money. But I have $200 as a gift to me for podcasting shit, so I can spend that much.
That's the budget.
Yes. So keep that in mind, and if you guys don't know, we're just going to cry.
I guess.
You want to know the other shit I got?
Okay. You always like telling me.
I do.
I think every year for the last, 7 years, you've been telling me what you got for
Christmas. Ever since I got married, because I'm telling you, my in-laws go crazy. My family, my parents, they're downscaling it more, and so it's less of a thing, but my in-laws are going crazy. And I feel like I want them to downscale it more, too, in principle. But I'm sure, like, the first year they do it, I'll be sad. Because it's awesome to get shit, especially shit you asked for.
Yeah.
My parents got me all the rest of the Dresden Files books, except the most recent one.
Okay.
So I now have, including Side Jobs. So I've got everything all the way through Side Jobs and Ghost Story. Some of them in hardbound, which is cool.
Wow.
I got Firefly on Blu-ray. I actually got two copies of Firefly on Blu-ray, so I'm going to return one. Farscape on Blu-ray. I got this book. Oh, I should have gotten it. I'll show you. It's this giant, like, inch and a half thick, leather-bound book that's a Firefly companion that I never knew existed, but they found it. And it's just got tons of stuff. It's got interviews with cast members. It's got all sorts of art and pictures. And it's got the script from every episode in it. It's got, you know, behind the scenes stuff, making of stuff, and it's just gorgeous. I love it. I got a role playing game called Star Blazer Adventures. That's a fate based sci-fi one. That's huge. That I was asking for because it was very expensive too. So I'm very excited about that. And I got a novel that I did not ask for, because I asked for a different role-playing game, a different sci-fi fate-based one, in fact, called Diaspora. And there was some confusion, so I ended up with a novel called Diaspora.
Oh.
But it looks really cool, and it's apparently by an author who's written, like, seven other novels. So I'm kind of excited. I think it's what I'm going to read as soon as I finish Anno Dracula. It looks very interesting. And I got a little bit of Amazon gift certificate, and I think that's mostly it. I'm probably forgetting something that is going to make the producer mad. But, we got a bunch of stuff for the cats, like giant kitty condo thing that we're still not sure where we're going to put it. But yeah, I think that's basically it.
Sounds like a good Christmas for you.
Good haul.
Yeah.
It was a good haul before $200 for podcasting equipment.
Yeah.
It was a super good haul. Okay. So we want to do High Time now?
Probably.
All right.
I only have 20 minutes left.
But we haven't even talked about the fact that the world did not end.
Well, unless we've all been sucked into some kind of virtual reality.
As Mark said, or this is the afterlife, and it's exactly like his regular life, and that's really sad.
But yes, other than something like that, yeah, nothing
happened. I forgot until, like, midday Friday. I was like, oh, shit, the apocalypse. So no more talking about the Mayans. Officially... there's nothing to be interested about the Mayans anymore.
That's right. Their culture has run out of steam.
Pretty much. We covered all the other stuff before this, and the only thing that kept them going was this whole apocalypse. Yeah,
but good on them for figuring out a way to keep things going. I mean, you know, long after their buildings are in ruins and everything, you were still talking about them. They're still relevant, but now they're not, of course.
Yes.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah,
maybe that's what we need to do.
So lucky, yeah. We predict the apocalypse, I don't know, 3,000 years out. Go.
That might work.
Now you have to keep paying attention until then.
You suppose our civilization won't last 3,000 years from now?
The chuds that exist later will listen to the podcast.
Okay.
It always sounds like a dirty word, doesn't it? Chud.
Kind of.
But we do have one other thing we have to talk about real quick.
Oh.
Episode 100.
Mm-hmm.
We're making plans. They are still very hypothetical plans, but they may involve any and all nearby listeners, by which I mean Mark, Beth, Stu, if you've caught up so you hear this, Azure Talon, Useless Trivia Man, Veramond, if you're listening again, doesn't count unless you hear this, who else is local?
I don't know.
Well, anybody else, I apologize if we don't know you. But if you are within a distance you would be willing to travel of Iowa City and would like to be involved in unspecified ways in episode 100, which I think we established as early February.
I think it's the first podcast in February.
Let us know soon, like email. Including all the people I mentioned by name. You got to email her. I'm going to think you don't want to be involved. Email the hat and tell us, you know, themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. Tell us you want to be involved. You can specify that it's not like a question or whatever. The hat will get the information to us. Because I got plans. It's going to be cool. But still got to work out basically everything.
Okay.
So, it's very hypothetical. You got any plans for New Year's?
Do I have...
What are you doing for New Year's?
We don't typically do anything in particular.
Do you even stay up?
Usually. But other than that, no, nothing.
Last year, me and the producer and my gaming group got together and had a little potluck and watched terrible, terrible movies.
You know, we were podcasting when that happened. Yes. So you talked about it back then.
Yes, I know. We've been podcasting for almost 2 years.
Almost 2 years.
We're doing that again with the added thing that then the next day we're going to game. Because that normally would be our gaming... I don't know if we did or not. Maybe we did. I don't know.
I thought that was the plan. You're going to watch horrible movies or game and then watch horrible movies. I don't remember. Gaming was part of it, I thought.
We might have gamed and then watched horrible movies. Yeah. I think that may have been what happened. We gamed and then at dinner time we switched over to potluck and the producer came over. And I think this year is backwards.
Backwards, okay.
The next day. Because the next day is when we would normally game that evening. But we all have a day off because it's New Year's Day. So we're going to...
Well, we're playing Mass Effect.
Forever.
Until it's done.
Yes.
But, you know, the goal
don't
is...
Don't let me forget. We have to talk about that.
The goal is to have it done before we get our pre-ordered Bioshock game. But that's not till February, I don't think.
No, that's been postponed again to March. Oh, golly. So if you're lucky, March.
I didn't know that.
The only
so
video game...
no rush, then.
There is a video game I got for Christmas. The only video game I got was Dragon Age 2. Which has made some people sad, because two of my friends have it and would lend it to me, and for one of them, it's like the only game they have they could lend me, and they were getting excited about that. Now they're kind of pissed. Yeah, no, you're going to have to find something to play in between. That's too long. All right, hat. We got like 19 minutes. So.
Oh.
We had a lot of stuff. It was Christmas, holiday,
well, I
apocalypse.
Know, but still.
We had a lot of catching up to do, people.
Dear Hatlets, Doctor Who or Torchwood, Sir Guido?
Sir Guido.
Doctor Who.
Yeah, totally.
We watched a couple episodes of Torchwood and I just couldn't get into it.
We watched. I wanted to like Torchwood. I really wanted to like Torchwood.
Because you like Captain Jack.
I love John Barrowman in general, mm-hmm. and Captain Jack in specific.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, he's a major figure showing up on Arrow. And that's just fun. Mm. Well, the simple answer is I stopped watching Torchwood long before it stopped. I think it's now actually finally done. And I haven't stopped watching Doctor Who. So that answers it right there.
Yeah.
But I came to Torchwood really late in the game. And we got like the first two... Basically, when Children of Earth was coming out, which was their third season. It was a short... It was only like four... hour and a half long episodes or something, but the third series was Children of Earth.
I don't know.
They'd had two seasons before then. We got through one and a half of them, and it was just depressing. The show was depressing.
Well, we had all kinds of other problems with it. It just didn't. I don't know.
It had a lot of weird aspects to it. The one thing I did enjoy is it had a great deal of rampant bisexuality, which I feel like very few shows ever deal with.
Well, that's true.
Even shows that are very gay positive, still people are gay or they're straight. And so, like, it had probably 99% of the bisexuals on television were on that show. And it had actors that have gone on to do things I liked. But I didn't like much of the characters on that show. And I don't know, it was one of those things where something happened so we weren't watching it fairly regularly and some time passed and we're like, do you want to go back to... No, not really. So, yeah, so not Torchwood.
Yeah.
And I think Torchwood is now finally dead. It was on Stars for a little while. I think it's finally dead. I think it ended up with either four or five seasons total. Or series, I should say. Still like Doctor Who. It has its ups and downs, but it's just... It's enjoyable episodic stuff that Yeah, I every once in a while it has an episode that I'm like, that wasn't so great, but I like it overall. You know, I don't go for a big run where I'm like, wow, this season, I want the time back from having watched this season of Doctor Who. I don't ever get that. So, yeah. So that's that. Thank you for your question, Sir Guido. It's a good one. I'd like to hear what other people have to think. I feel like in general that's the way it's going to go.
Yeah, I do too.
I think the exception is individuals who are specific fans of specific Torchwood characters.
Yeah, probably.
And I feel like that's most of the fans on that show are like that. They're fans because they love so and so. You know.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, if people want to tell us what
they should go to the blog.
The blog, that's right.
The blog. TheMagicalTalkingHat.com. Once again, that is TheMagicalTalkingHat.com. You can be heard by the people who go there, which is several people. That's the largest and easiest way to get contact with the producer. She is there regularly and comments, even though she doesn't listen to the show, except what she can hear in the other room. But you can also get involved in a more direct and broad-spanning way by writing the hat. TheMagicalTalkingHat@gmail.com. Once again, that is TheMagicalTalkingHat@gmail.com. Write in with a question or a comment or a topic that you want us to talk about. And we will, when we draw it out of the hat.
Because we
ultimately filter.
No.
But we do draw at random.
And we don't look at them ahead of time either. You're hearing them exactly as we see them and respond to them.
Yes. So do that.
But the question was Doctor Who or Torchwood? Go to the blog and answer.
Yes.
Tell us what you think.
This is a completely there's no name, there's no opening to this.
Oh.
And I feel like this may be slightly different wording, but we've had this question before.
Okay.
What question would you most like to ask of the listeners?
Oh, and of course we came up with, why do you listen?
Why do you listen? And some people commented, not as many as I hoped.
Well, and which I thought was a fairly obvious one. Of course, that's what we're going to ask.
And the secondary one is, what do you want out of the show?
Yeah.
I have a new one.
Okay.
I'm curious. It becomes very academic because I'm very happy with our little community of hatlings. I feel like we probably haven't gotten any new listeners in a very long time, but I feel like we haven't hardly lost any listeners. And the people that are here know us, we know them, it's all good.
That's nice.
But I am curious, does anybody have any suggestions on how we might grow the audience? Because if we never get new people, and we do occasionally lose people because they get busy or they, you know, have a kid or something like that, eventually that heads us down to zero listenership.
Mm-hmm.
And I would like to avoid that.
But now what you're looking for is not so much like marketing plans. What you're looking for is how can we make the content more
interesting? How can we make the content more appealing or give people something? I mean, how do you sell this podcast now? I mean, what do you tell people? Why should they listen to it, you know? Mm-hmm. So is there something we can do or some way we can approach it that makes it marketable? I'm not talking about how to market it, but how to make it marketable.
What kinds of things would you be willing to do?
Nudity, absolutely. But only if it's integral to the plot.
You know, we've tried that a couple times, and it ended up making me have my eyes closed during the entire podcast.
Yeah, it didn't go well, but it was really important to the backstory, so.
Okay.
I don't know. Well, and here's the thing that I wonder. Our podcast is about absolutely nothing.
No, that's right.
And I don't know if that's a problem, because I feel like a lot of people grab a podcast for two reasons, and I think these are the reasons I usually pick podcasts. One, you say it's fucking hilarious. And while I do think that people think we are funny, I don't think that's, if you're looking for a podcast to laugh about or with, we're not the best choice.
No.
A, we're not professional comedians, and B, we spend a lot of time being serious.
Yeah.
And the second reason I think people do is because it's a podcast about something you're interested in.
Mm-hmm.
And our podcast isn't about shit, you know? No. A few times on the Happy Jacks boards, people were like, what are some good RPG podcasts? and people talk, and they never mention us because we're not an RPG podcast. We talk about RPGs sometimes.
We talk about,
but not enough to be qualified. People do mention us on there, and I'm very grateful for that. But usually only in a situation if they say, I only listen to this number of podcasts, and here they all are. And so they do mention us there, and that's nice. And I still think we get a lot of listeners from there.
What has surprised me about this podcast as it's gone on is that...
That it's gone on?
Well, that's part of it. But it's mostly about us.
I think it has to be.
I mean...
The only marketable thing we have is our interaction.
Well, and you know...
And I say marketable not because it's a good thing. It's a terrible thing. But it's unique. No other podcast has our weird little...
That's true.
Type of discussion.
But we talk about our personal lives. I mean, as much as
we talk about the media we consume.
Well, that, but, you know, sometimes the questions get kind of personal.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I've talked a lot about myself and my background, and you've talked, and people have gotten to know us as individuals, but also as we speak to one another, you know, what we're like together.
Yes.
And that seems to be the only thing this podcast is about is us. And so who would be
interested? How do you sell that?
I don't know.
You say it's about these two guys. You've never met them, but...
And they talk to each other about stuff. And sometimes they talk about...
They're awesome. That's it. That's the producer said it on his. That's got to be our new tagline. The Magical Talking Hat. We're awesome. Trust me. There we go.
But, yeah, I mean, you know...
I mean, I know there's more we could do just to get stuff out there. And like I said, I'm not... In no way I'm concerned about this. I'm just curious. I'm very... If our podcast... demographic and such doesn't ever change, I am totally happy. I get sad when I find out that people have dropped off, but I love the people we've gotten. I don't have any need for more. But, you know, it could be fun to more than 12 listeners.
Mark talked about how, you know, we're friends of his. We've known him for a long time.
And
how,
he uses this as a way to interact with us.
Which I think that's great because I feel the same way. I mean, it's great to see his comments. And so, you know... I love being in contact with him through the podcast.
Absolutely.
He's in contact with us.
That's a very limited market, though.
Yeah.
At max, that gives us like 5 people.
Yeah.
And I do feel like there's a fair number of those. Some of the listeners are people that I used to work with in previous jobs and don't see anymore. People you used to work with in previous jobs and don't see anymore.
Mm-hmm.
People from back in Oregon where I lived. Who I don't see anymore.
I've got some people who I used to know before I came to Iowa City. A couple people.
A couple are exes. That kind of thing. And that's great, but yeah, that's not... If that's our sole demographic, it gets weird, you know?
But it stands to reason... Stands to reason, given the fact, again, that this is about us. I mean, who's going to be interested in it besides people who know us and like us already?
Yeah.
I mean, if you don't know us, why would you care what we think about anything? Much less anything about our personal histories or what we've been doing in the last 20 years.
And because it's us, we rule out individuals who, because it's both, like we rule out people who would listen to a podcast of me but think you're boring.
Yeah.
Or people who would listen to a podcast of you but think I'm an asshole. Or people... Like most of my family members, I believe I have two family members who listen occasionally. There's a lot of family members who shouldn't listen and won't listen because I'm relatively unfiltered here.
Not in my family.
In a way that would not appeal to them.
Nobody in my family listens, and nor should they.
But the idea, like I know many of them think the idea that they can keep up with me via this podcast is a good thing. And in theory, I see it. And it's the same thing, you know, to interact with me. But they're not going to want to interact on this level.
Hmm.
So, yeah, so we lose... The Venn diagram is a very specific block where there's a lot of different overlaps. So, tell us, listeners, what... I mean, we're talking about you. And we want to know how you do it. How do you listen? And how do you... Have any of you, like, tried... I mean, okay, I don't want this to come off all guilt trip or whatever. You have my blessing and my encouragement to never tell anyone that you listen to this and deny it if asked and hide this as your secret shame. I completely understand.
This is not a pledge drive.
No. And I don't even like telling people I'm on here, so... Like, I understand that. But hypothetically, if some of you did, have any of you attempted to talk others into listening to this? And if so, how'd you do it? Like, what did you say? Also, was it successful? I'm curious about that. But what did you say? Because I have trouble imagining it.
Here's something I think we have going for us that goes beyond just, it's just us talking. And that is, there's talking. I mean, there are a lot of people out there who miss the fact that, well, our culture is really not that conducive to conversation in general.
Yeah.
I don't know if anyone's noticed that. And I don't just mean that when you watch the news or watch television, everyone's just arguing with each other all the time. That's part of it. But in general, it doesn't seem like our education system is really built around the notion of people conversing or challenging each other's ideas. It's mostly about regurgitating information that you're told, preparing kids to be good little corporate citizens and all this stuff.
Yeah.
It's little wonder that TV is like that, because that seems to be what we want people to be, either them not talking at all or arguing with each other incessantly. I mean, like that thing I said about Facebook, where the only reason people are friends on Facebook is because they've never shared their opinions with one another.
Yeah.
And then when they do, they are not friends anymore.
And the whole concept of the death of the great talk show.
Yeah.
You know, and the whole concept that, like, well, and like why Craig Ferguson is so popular with a certain demographic. He's sort of the TV version of this kind of thing.
Well, yeah, right. So there is conversation. There
yes.
is interchange. Maybe, I don't know, we agree on so many things, but we also disagree on a lot of things. So maybe that's fun for people to hear. Oh,
yeah,
look, there's a conversation. Maybe it's not a great conversation.
Like,
I don't know.
I feel like we're not especially unique in that, because I listen to a lot of podcasts that do that and do it much better than we do.
I suppose. I was just trying to think of something that, you know.
Yeah.
I know there are some people out there that miss conversation just as a concept, and when they hear someone having even a not so great conversation, but it's one
yeah.
where the two people are sharing
and
with one
I
another
totally
and they're not
get
fighting
into that. Yeah, I get into that.
That they like to listen to it.
I enjoy those, and in fact podcasts like that are sort of what part of what inspired this. That and finding a magical hat, but see that's my big worry, is that a lot of our listeners are listeners because they don't realize there's better podcasts that basically do this exact thing, but better.
Yeah.
And I do have to give us credit for this, and this is the thing that I hear time and time again, and we've got it better than just about anyone. Consistency of delivery of content.
Yeah.
Every Thursday for almost 2 years, for 94 episodes, we have never missed a Thursday.
You know what? We're kind of like the Saturday Night Live of podcasts. We're there. We're live. I mean, you know, we're not live, but since we don't edit or rehearse it or anything, it is live.
And everybody talks about how it used to be better.
Well, what I'm saying is Saturday Night Live, sometimes it's crappy. Sometimes it's awesome. Sometimes it's, you know. And we're kind of that way, too.
But everybody looks nostalgically back on the previous cast and says it's gone downhill.
Okay, fine. But you get what I'm saying.
I do.
One of the reasons that our podcast might suffer from the whole quality problem is we don't plan it. We don't.
No.
There's no thought into it at all. We get together. We read whatever comes out of the hat. And
I
then
barely
we record
wake
it.
Up.
We don't edit it. We don't rehearse it, anything. So the quality of it, and if it's crap, and you know, at the end of the night we know it was crap, too bad. It goes
yeah.
out. It goes out on time. Everybody listens to how crappy it was, and that's
not
all there is to it.
Like, when we turn it off, sometimes we're like, that was a really good episode. And others, we're like, we were off. Like, what was our deal tonight? That just did not work.
But that's just what we do. And
the exception being episode 12, the original episode 12, which was unbelievably awesome.
Great episode.
But then we lost it. So,
but see, people either want something really horrible or really great.
Yes.
Those middle of the road things like us, we just don't.
Or we are both, rather.
And that's not what sells these days. I feel like it's my fault, though. You realize that, right?
I feel like it's your fault, too.
Okay.
I'm not even sure what specifically we're talking about now, but I do feel like it's your fault.
Okay.
Anyway,
I suppose we're out of time.
Just about.
Okay.
As we said, write the hat, the magical talking hat at gmail.com. Also, go to the blog, themagicaltalkinghat.com. Do some stuff there. Go to iTunes. Enough people have rated us on iTunes that there's an average rating now. We still only have 4 reviews, so more reviews would be good. But ratings are good, too. By the way, our average is 5 stars, so...
Well, that's nice.
So, yeah, go to iTunes, do a review, do a rating. Follow me on Twitter, because I'm awesome. At NotQuiteTony. You won't regret it any more than you regret this. And I said you could like the hat on Facebook, didn't I? I think so. And also, I want to say, before we leave tonight, New Year's Eve, you know, very soon. So I just want to say, guys, drinking and driving, what's up with that?
Yeah, really. Don't do it.
Yeah, see, you don't even know what I'm referencing. Bonus points for people who know that reference. I believe the people that used to be a running joke with don't listen to this podcast. So if you do, then you're cheating. But... bonus points if you can place that reference. And we will talk to you next week.
That's right.
No, sorry. We will talk to you next year. Right. That joke is so old, but it only comes up once a year, so you're always entitled, you know?
Gotta do it.
Yeah. All right, so that's it.
Yep.
All right. I got nothing.
Okay.
Please disregard the previous hour of useless audio. This has been a production of the Magical Talking Hat Podcast. If you would like to contact us, and I don't know why you would, please do so at themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. All music is provided courtesy of Jay Underberg. More of his PodSafe audio can be found at podsafeaudio.com/Jay_Underberg. Thank you.